the labor force participation rate in sub-Saharan Africa at about 64-65%, I think, it's not that far removed from that in other countries, including many developing countries. I think the difficulty with sub-Saharan Africa is that most of the female participation is in the informal sector, where activities are more insecure, wages are lower, you don't have access to the kinds of inputs and support you would have if you were in the formal system, so that the rate of return to activities there could be higher if women had more access. So I think what we need to think about in the case of sub-Saharan Africa is how to support those women, you know, and help get some more services, access to finance and so on, so that they can boost, you know, the earnings from their work in the informal labor force and work on how to get more women to participate in the formal labor market.
You spent part of your career at the World Bank. Do you think that international financial institutions generally do better than the private sector at placing women in senior management or senior positions?
I wouldn't say that. I think when I look at my career, it's also been a struggle in these institutions. And I joined the World Bank in 1982. You know, there were women before me who had struggled to try to make their mark, to rise up in the ranks, to manage, to deal with the issue of how do you manage to have a family and a career at the same time. And I think they would tell you that it was no easier in the international financial institutions than it was outside. But I think over the years, there has been much more consciousness, much more improvement. Even before I left the bank the first time in 2003 and then came back again, the attitudes and the support for women to at least be able to run their careers and have a family had improved considerably. The people were much more open than during my time. And I think if you look at the statistics, there's been some improvement too. But we have a long way to go.
So reflecting back at what it took to build your own illustrious career, what would you say to women who now feel that the odds are stacked against them right now?
Women who are in career positions, many of them still feel that the odds are stacked against them getting to the top. But sometimes when you talk to the young millennials, women, they sometimes don't see some of those same obstacles that the people ahead of them saw. So that's an interesting phenomenon. And it's very encouraging, you know, that they feel things may not be quite as difficult. So it would be interesting to watch women in their 20s, how they fare. But those women above them, I think once they enter a career stream, seem to still feel that the deck is stacked against them and the obstacles are there. And I think on an individual level, the advice you can give women is, you know, to pick a career and a job that you really like and do it to the best of your ability. I mean, that's the way that I made my way, or the promotions were sort of, I wouldn't say accidental, but they were consequent on my doing a job I loved. So I worked hard at it. Try to get into positions where merit can be assessed on more objective basis than subjective. I mean, for women, it is easier when your performance can actually be measured. And then try to find those who can give you good advice. You know, seek mentorship, not just from women, but also from men. Men like Moin Qureshi, to whom I was a special assistant, who just taught me so much. People like Jim Wolfenson, who gave really sterling advice and backed it up with support at critical times in my career. Bob Zelig. So if you're trying to make your way, it's not only women. In my life, there were men who made a vast difference.